And I'm at South by Southwest. I don't know if you've heard of it. I was at a talk and saw a very tall, very beautiful woman dressed in a bright green jumpsuit. Introduced myself, found out she's an absolute star. Her name is Charity Barton. She's got a podcast called Only in Your Dreams, as well as a self-published book that's all about uplifting the voices of Black children. And I am so excited to have her on my podcast and just talk about her and her story and all of the wonderful work she's doing. So, welcome to my podcast, Charity.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And whenever we met earlier, I think it was yesterday, it was really fun getting to talk to you. And we had so many similarities and like common interests. We're like, we've got to do this. So I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, our common interest is fashion. We love clothes. Everyone at this conference, they're wearing like the black sweaters, the turtlenecks, the dirty tennis shoes. Like, this is a professional conference. I just think fashion has fallen out.
I completely agree. And I always think you should be dressing for the job that you want or the statement that you want to make. And I think we talked a little bit with my green suit. And I said that I generally wear statement pieces to conferences because it's such an easy way for people to come up and talk to you. It's a great conversation starter. And everyone here, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's because it's Austin or it's Texas or the type of people that are drawn to South By, but I definitely think we look the parts.
We are the only well-dressed people here, Charity. Don't lie to the audience. So Charity, tell me your story. How did you come up with the idea for your book? By the way, what's your book called? And also, can you tell me a little bit about the development process?
So my book is called We Did That, a Black History Children's Activity Book. Okay, so this process has been quite long. Started the book in 2020. I nicknamed this book my COVID baby because I started it during COVID and a lot of people were doing other things and having human babies. I decided to have a business baby. That's when I started writing the book. However, my story begins in 2018 to 2019. I took a gap year and I moved from Oklahoma to California. There, I worked in LA. I worked in Watts, Los Angeles, California, and I was at a school, an elementary school. I was teaching there through a program called City Year. So City Year LA allows you to go in and bridge the gaps between what's being taught at homes or not being taught at homes and then what's being taught in the classroom. So there are some kids that lose out on information and education just because of the system. And there's so many kids in the classrooms or they're all at varying levels. And so how do you really penetrate it and help each kid? So City Year, working with my students, I was in a fifth grade classroom. I absolutely loved it. They are absolutely incredible. It was people of color, so BIPOC. I would say Black and some Latin kids. I would help them with their reading and their math. At the end of my program, I met with the communications director. He worked for NBC Universal, like Comcast Universal. And he told me that this time here that I spent in LA was not wasted as I had previously thought.
What do you mean your time in LA was wasted?
I just meant that while we were in our program, everyone referred to it as a gap year, or like something to do until you got into the real job, into the real world. I said that because it's insulated. You're working with an organization that I think is absolutely wonderful. You have your peers and your cohorts in LA, as you can imagine, the cohort program or the cohort for my year was huge. So you have all these people. You have all this access, you have these resources, and then you're working in school. So you feel insulated in that world. And then he corrected me and said that I did some good work and this was the real world, unlike my previous belief. And he told me to find the story. There was a story here. And the story is my book, We Did That, a Black History Children's Activity Book, because I believe that belonging is important. And that's what I noticed about my kids in my school in LA. If they didn't feel like they belonged, they were not able to participate in education, in the teachings that the teacher and myself provided for them. So they were always distracted or concerned about maybe what's going on at home or what was going on in a different friend group. And they just weren't able to take in the information. And so once I solved their belonging problems, right, like how do you have a friend talking them through their problems or social problems, even their emotional problems. So once I solved those things, then they were able to focus on their multiplication tables or their reading comprehension assignment. The book was born from there because I think that it helps Black children specifically create that sense of belonging because they're able to understand their historical stories. So fast forward to 2020, I decided to sit down and write this book. I actually have dedicated to my children and my school in LA. I gamified history. So there are puzzles, there are activity, there are coloring pages. There's even prompts for competition with their family or their friends. There are imaginative stories. There's bingo. And so it allows you to keep learning, even though you may have completed the activities in the book, you can still keep learning with a bingo.
Charity, that's so flippin' cute. I love that. I love all the activities and the coloring books. And oh my gosh, I want to buy a copy. So I gotta ask, what inspired you to write this book? I mean, I know it was about helping children to belong, but there are a lot of ways to... Look at me. I'm a guy with a watch and a cell phone. I'm so important. Oh, la la. We're recording the Omni Hotel. There are a bunch of men with giant watches walking by us. Not all of them are tall, but there are a lot of men with giant watches at South By. Look, it's a very frenetic conference. If you hear any doors open, we are working as best we can. They look so freaking like dedicated. They're like looking ahead. They're like, I'm so important. I work in sales for technology. I'm changing the world. I'm disrupting breakfast. You know, there are a lot of things you can do besides write a book to help children feel like they belong. What made you want to write a book specifically for this? And also, who were your key inspirations for it?
Excellent question. What inspired me to write this book? I believe that in order to attack a problem, you have to start at the root. And so children being the primary audience, however, I do want to say it's great for my middle schoolers, the high schoolers, college, grad students, anyone can pick up this book. It's an activity book. So if you need self-care, if you need time alone, a solo date, totally for you. But I wanted to start at the root. And I think that children, they're willing to learn and engage in new ways. And so allowing my content to reach them, to me, seemed like the best solution to the problem that I was experiencing during my time as a teacher. Some of my key inspirations, I would say, gosh, there's so many. When I think about Michelle Obama and the work that she's been doing with children, and also just her affinity for reading and improving literacy comprehension skills around the youth in America. She's an incredible person who I, well, of course, would like to meet. Of course, I would like to meet her. Who would not want to meet the First Lady? However, I resonated with her messaging and honestly, the things that she cares about, because I saw that as a way to reach students, but in a different way, in a different capacity. And so providing different literature that, yes, will still help them with their reading comprehension skills, because there are some reading and passages in my book, but also give them a sense of pride. I wanted them to see Black excellence, and I wanted them to know that that's possible for them. They are able to reach any goal, any dream that they have. And sometimes it's hard to do that if you're not seeing it. And so the book, in my mind, will allow them to see that dreams can come true and that there are dreamers who are before you that are rooting for you now.
When you look at people who inspire you, Michelle Obama is a big one. Who else do you really look up to? And who do you think serves as a good role model for children?
So who do I look up to? I love Tracee Ellis Ross. I think she's incredible. One, her career, her fashion. We already know we bond on fashion. She has incredible style. I really love how she's been able to dream. It's very evident that she's been able to dream. And then not only dream, but accomplish her dreams, which is also important. I like Oprah, of course. So again, I wanted to be a journalist and I loved her trajectory. Everyone that I love, it's based on their career. Mainly her trajectory into film was one that I was looking at. So she was a journalist and she went to a talk show and then she became an actress and then now producer, director. And then of course she had a publication and I love media. And so being able to become a media maker, like my podcast, like the book, has been something that she's inspired me to do. And I modeled my college career after hers. For children, I hesitate to give names. To me, I think it's important for children to have a mentor. So someone that can be a near peer partner. So whether that's maybe a city year or a teacher, or that could even be a fifth grader or maybe a middle schooler for your third grader, like someone that's near in their age, that way they can see their next steps ahead of them. Far too often, I find that if our children have those celebrity mentors, they're too far out of reach and children need more of a guide. So that's why I recommend a mentor for them to look up to. So I know there are a lot of programs in the United States that allow for your children to be connected with someone dedicated for that one-on-one time that I think serves children's best rather than having them look up to Zendaya or anyone else.
Oh, that's interesting. Like if parents are wanting their kids to get inspired, it's better for them to look up to members of the community and not famous people. So like a baseball coach or a teacher instead of Michelle Obama. Well, everyone looks up to Michelle Obama. Maybe instead of like someone else who's famous, maybe instead of Oprah.
Yes, I feel like that's the way to create impact for the student. Not saying that you can't have someone whose career that you want to model your life on, but I think that there's better impact with someone closer, like you said, someone in your community. However, I do know growing up, I watched a lot of Disney. I watched a lot of these uplifting movies. Nickelodeon had a couple too. ABC Family was really good. And so I thoroughly enjoyed. Actually, I looked up to Zendaya. But for me, it felt so far out of reach. Like I needed, and it could just be me, but I needed the next steps. I needed tangible steps for me to walk out this dream that I've had. And so having people in my community helped me. But having a big goal or having a mark to hit, like looking at a celebrity, was helpful for that close community mentor.
I have to ask, how important is it for children to have people who look like them in different roles on television or in real life? Common example, Ariel, Halle Bailey, beautiful Black woman playing Ariel. I mean, how important do you think it is for children to see people who look like them on screen, in roles, as mermaids, as doctors, as lawyers, as fairy princesses? What's your opinion on that?
Representation is extremely important. There's a saying that if you can see it, you can be it. And so I wonder how many people are not seeing it. And so then that affects if they can be it or if they think they can be it. Also, I just want to say there are signs on the doors, but everyone still tries them. They still try all of the doors, and I don't know how that's happening.
They sometimes look at us, and I feel like they want us to open the door, but we're not going to do that. We're in the middle of an interview, sir. You can walk around, whatever.
So if they aren't seeing it, then it's really hard for them to become it. And so allowing representation to seep into all of these industries will allow for Black children to expand their dreams into all of the other industries. And I loved The Little Mermaid with Halle. I think she did an incredible job. What I loved the most were the reactions from the children watching her. They were extremely excited to see her. A lot of them pointed out that their hair looked like hers, or now they want to have red hair. They want to get locks or they want to get braids. And so I think not only does representation matter for children to become all that they can be or to expand their perception of what they can be, I think that representation also helps to instill pride because it allows for exposure to happen. So now you're able to resonate and relate to someone else because you're like, whoa, she looks like me, her hair's like me, and she's in this position. So now not only do I take pride in the way that I look, but I can also know that I can become this thing too.
It's really beautiful. A child has a dream. They want to become something, but they don't see someone who looks like them in that role yet. What advice would you give to them? What would you say to them?
I think there are plenty of children who want to do things, but they may not have seen someone that looks like them do those things. It definitely can act as a crutch. Like I said, if you can't see it, how do you know that you can become it? The advice that I would give is like, if you have a dream, it's your dream. Hold on to it. Representation matters, but it shouldn't deter you if representation is lacking.
Charity, I gotta ask, what was your childhood like? Who did you look up to and what dreams did you have? You're like a star now. You're like podcast host, author, fashionista. List goes on and on. Tell me, what did you want to be when you were a child?
So my mom has this saying. She says that girls with dreams become women with vision. And so if that's any indication of my childhood, I had a childhood where I basically lived in dreamland. So anything that I wanted to do, I did. I was always offered different opportunities to fuel dreams that I had, or to ignite maybe some dreams that I didn't know that I had, or to spark dreams that my parents wondered if I'd be interested in having. What I wanted to be when I was a child, I wanted to act. And that turned a little bit into, I just want to change the world. And then as I got older, it started narrowing down of what changing the world looks like. So I chose acting. I just can't grasp the idea of choosing one thing. So I'm not a fan when teachers are like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, I want to be all of the things. So acting was my way, from a child's perspective, right, of being able to become all of the things. I could be a spy. I don't have to go work for CIA, or, you know, like I could do this now, or I can play an astronaut. No need to go to NASA. I can play a lawyer. I can defend in court. So I don't need to go to law school. Like, it was just the way for me to capture all of my interests within one title. And so it just changed a little bit now.
So what do you want to be when you grow up? That's a limiting question. What are some questions teachers and parents can ask children that help to expand their dreams and not collapse them or limit them or shorten them? Just tell me.
I would say, what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What makes your heart happy? Because I also think we should ask questions that have some emotion tied to it. At least that's what I do, because children are very emotional. And I always pray that they don't lose that vulnerability. They don't lose that innocence. And so I think attaching an emotion, like, how do you feel right now? Or how do you want to change the world? Is another question that I ask, because a lot of times that question in itself expands them, because they're like, wait, I can change the world? Like, I can do that. And so then now they're able to see themselves as actors and change agents in the world instead of just participants.
What's the danger of someone seeing themselves as just a participant versus an actor? There are some people who just participate in the world. We've seen a lot of them try to enter these doors. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, this is such a great question. And I actually addressed this question on a TEDx talk that I gave in March of 2023.
As I'm walking up the stairs, I hear two students having an interesting conversation. The first student says, real proud, MLK was the best to ever do it. The second student laughs and says, all he did was talk, bro, and write speeches. What's so great about that? After I finished laughing, I realized that the second student did not have a deep understanding for his history. I needed to fix that. I needed to correct his understanding, because when it comes to the Black paradigm, the stories that come before us greatly impact the most important ones, the stories we tell ourselves. I firmly believe that stories matter, but well-represented stories matter more. I have seen how stories can change lives through songs and music and books and family stories and movies. The stories you hear today will undoubtedly change your life and the way that you think about stories.
The danger, I related back to media, and are you just participating in the digital spaces? And so I think if you're just participating in life and you're not showing up, my first thought when I see someone not showing up, or if they say I'm just a participant, or in the way that they act, I wonder internally if they feel safe enough to do so, or if they were ever allowed to do so when they were children. So thinking about children and ways to protect their innocence, allowing them to feel all of their emotions, allowing them to experience all of their interests and to explore their curiosities, so they don't feel like they're being watered down. So that way they don't grow up to be the watered down version of themselves. And now we see that with a lot of the TikTok posts or creators saying that I'm going back to my inner child, or like, this is healing my inner child. Again, everything for me is the root. And so I wonder if we can allow that inner child to thrive and to flourish when you are a child. That way, whenever you grow up to be an adult, you can still speak to your child or your younger self.
A few questions I have about that. First, I would say I've noticed people who are very successful. They were able to take their childhood trauma and turn it into something amazing. I mean, being a kid is such an unjust experience sometimes. You can't control what's going on. People are always telling you what to do. Everyone's bossy and you're tiny and you can't do anything about it. I wouldn't know. This didn't happen to me. How would you help someone heal their inner child so that they can achieve their dreams, so that they can become successful? Like if an adult came up to you and said, Charity, when I was really little, I wanted to be an astronaut, but people told me I couldn't, and so I believed them. Astronaut, maybe it is too late if you want to be an astronaut, like 40. Okay, that was a bad example. Someone's like, I've always wanted to be a painter. That was my dream. I was told growing up, I'm not good at it. What would you say to them?
If someone told me that they had a dream deferred or their childhood dream was put on hold, I would tell them to take it out of layaway. Start working on it. So in whatever form that looks like, it can take all kinds of forms. Let's go with your painter example. One, go buy brushes. Take a painting class. Make sure you have a canvas. Do all of the things that you would have done had you had that opportunity or been afforded that opportunity when you were younger. Something else that I would say is it's not too late. It's never too late to actualize your dreams. I just think you need to be honest that you have them deferred. And then from there, you can work towards it.
Putting aside dreams that require a significant amount of schooling spanning 20 years, do you really believe all dreams are achievable?
Yes, I 100% do. There's no dream in the world that is unachievable. I do think we have to be realistic about the parameters of those dreams, right? So like, what is it going to look like now? I think some dreams can morph and they can evolve. One, just as time goes on, maybe you get more education, or maybe you did something that you didn't want to do as a child, but now you like it. So how can you merge two dreams together and create a new one? So I do think all dreams are achievable. They just look different.
I love that. You know, there's a spoken word poem I love. It's called Dreams Are Illegal. One of the lines in it goes, without dreams, you are equivalent to being non-existent. Our children need to be told that they can achieve and that God bless those that hold on to their dreams. What do you think about that?
I 100% agree with that quote, without dreams, you are equivalent to being non-existent. Again, so I wonder, or I have wondered, I guess, which is why I started my podcast and the book, what happens to dreams deferred? What happens to visionless women and girls without dreams? And so I think having the ability to think and to ponder on the what ifs, the could be's and the why nots is a luxury. I think there's privilege there to be able to sit and just think about what do I want to do tomorrow? And then what job do I want? What office style do I want? What kind of workplace do I want to wear, be around a lot of men in blue suits, or do I want to be around women? Like, I'm wondering if the flip side of not being able to think about the infinite possibilities that this world can offer, are we now thinking about the infinite negative experiences that we can have? Or are we actually experiencing these? And so they're preventing us from doing the things that we like. And so when I think about the fact that children should be able to dream, right, in that quote, I do believe that, because I would hate for them to grow up not dreaming and then become adults who participate, right, who just participate in life and they're not able to be active and take control of the life that they want.
That brings me to a question I've been thinking about a lot lately. You know, I love life. I really do. But it can be scary and overwhelming. Sometimes we have to face realities that we don't want to face. I don't think it's out of the question to say that Black children, as a general rule, especially in America, have to grow up faster and face more adversity than white children. What advice would you give to a Black child or teen who is facing an unjust reality where they are told by adults in their life that they can't accomplish their dreams?
The advice that I give them would be to keep it alive in the ways that you can. So if that looks like you're just journaling about your dreams every night so you can remember the dream that you have, or so that way you can keep it alive in the way that you can keep it alive. Because I also know that you're not able to be autonomous in situations like that, right? You're a child under the age of 18. There are just certain things that you just can't do. And I recognize that. And so I think keeping your dream alive in whatever ways you can would be the best thing for you to do. So whether that looks like maybe changing your social feed, so that way it looks like the lifestyle that you want to live. So if you love cars, your dream is to own a Maserati, like you should be following people who own Maseratis or their Maserati account itself. What I would also recommend is find that teacher, find that coach that you really connect with, that you feel like cares about you, and talk to them about your dreams. Maybe they can help you if you have another adult in your life that can't.
just in case there's anyone who's listening who needs it. Let's say you have a child and they are constantly told every day, you're not good enough, you won't be successful, and they don't have any support. I'm talking about any child, any background, any ethnicity. What would you say to them? If you were just speaking to them directly, pretend they're sitting across from you. They have a big dream and they're told by every single person that they can't achieve it. What would you say to them?
I'd say that dreams are scary, and I don't know that you need a yes to follow your dreams. I think that if you have it, if it's in your heart, then that's for you. You're responsible to follow it. So, like I mentioned, find ways to keep it alive so that way you can remind yourself why this dream matters and why it's important. I don't know if you need the yes. Again, the circumstances vary. Say someone's not willing to give you a recommendation for the school that you want to apply for and that's your dream. Of course, that can be problematic. Maybe you just find someone else. You know, I'll write your recommendation letter for you. It's fine. I don't think you need the approval of other people to get your dreams accomplished. So I'd say, just like we tell people all the time, don't look at the comments, don't look at the negative comments, never look at the comment section. You should never listen to people who aren't dreamers themselves, because people who are dreamers will never tell you your idea is silly, crazy, is not going to happen. Dreamers help dreamers. And if you find yourself sitting across from someone or anywhere in your life, at any point, anywhere that tells you that your dream is unachievable, I would ask them if they've ever dreamed a dream. Because I don't know if they have.
Do you think dreams are divine? Do you think we have them on purpose? Or are they just things we experience because of our experiences in life?
Yeah, so I definitely would say a combination of the two. As a Christian, I totally believe that God gives you dreams. I think that he gives you problems to solve. And then the ways that you're solving them, like those solutions, at least for me, have been dream worthy, right? So it's important to me that what I do and the work that I do has to reach other people. And that's also a tenet of Christianity, right?
Someone has a dream of making a garden or having a true impact on the world or whatever it is, and they've always had this dream. Do you think it's something that has been given to them? Or is it something they've developed because of the people they're around, their life experiences? Just tell me, what do you think about that?
I mean, as a Christian, I definitely believe that you are given dreams, right? Like your life's purpose from God. And I think that each one of us has a unique dream and a unique purpose. However, I will say that I think both can exist at once, right? Like, so the people that you're around, the experiences that you have can shape your dreams too, right? I think I've already mentioned that dreams can take different forms. They can look differently as you get older because of your experiences, because of what you've gone through, because of life, right? Like, I don't know, you can leave one religion and go to a different religion. Your dreams will look different, but the intention, the impact that you want to make, I believe, will still be there. And so that's my answer.
That's really beautiful. I agree. I love Cinderella as a kid, and I do think a dream is a wish your heart makes. I do. Don't laugh at me. Dreaming. I might get fact-checked here, but you know, I studied school psychology before I became a designer. And from what I remember in my motivation classes, Black children actually enter schools knowing, on average, 10,000 more words than white children. The achievement gap doesn't actually start until third grade. There's a great article on this titled Black is Not a Risk Factor, which I'll include in the show notes. Thinking about that, how can parents and teachers better nurture Black children, especially with their dreams, and give them the skills they need, the resiliency skills, so that they can continue to be successful, so that they can nurture what they are feeling in their heart?
Teachers, I would just say, you know, act without any bias towards your Black children and help as much as you can, right, with their reading. Send them home with packets if you have to. That's what I did with my children. I would send them home with reading packets and say, I expect to see this on Monday. Making sure it was short enough so that they were able to do it, because you just never know what their home situation is like as far as access to different resources. And so you want to make sure you're being mindful of that, but still giving them that extra homework. And then eventually I evolved to giving them class time or our study time or taking some of their lunch to work on these things, letting them eat lunch in my room if they can't do it at home. For parents, a lot of teachers in school administration, they say that children should be reading at home. And so I think that's one of the best things that you can do. I read all the time. My mother is a strong advocate for education. And so I had lots of reading packets to do while I was home, even if she had to create them herself. And I know that maybe not all parents can do that, but there are so many tips and tricks and tools online. Even teachers, I'm sure if you were to question and ask, where can I find some information for my kiddo to do over the summer break? Summer is coming. So I highly recommend that we get some homework for them, or you can purchase We Did That, and there's reading comprehension activities available in the book for them to follow. So you can get We Did That for your summer reading for your kiddo.
It's a great book, everybody. I'm not just saying that. We all have different talents and skills. How would you recommend someone look inside themselves to bring out their abilities?
That is an excellent question. In the podcast, Only in Your Dreams, I walk us through this activity, and I'll just share it here with you all. So you can sit down with a piece of paper, turn off all the electronics, all the TV, sit down by yourself, shut your door, go outside, sit in your car, and truly start with one thought. I'm going to be an architect. That was my dream. So think about being an architect and then let your imagination run wild. It may evolve into something else. Like maybe you should be a designer, or maybe you can be a different type of designer. Maybe you don't have to do buildings. Maybe you can do spaces and make sure that whenever you walk into a space, it feels incredible. It feels inclusive. There is enough seating. There's outlets. There's Wi-Fi strong connection. Think about all the things that surround your one topic that you're interested in. And just ask yourself the could be's, the why nots, and the what ifs. I'd also recommend, if that maybe doesn't work, maybe you can't sit down for that long, I recommend 15 minutes at a time. I would then suggest looking on Pinterest and just searching things, searching finance, searching fashion, searching beauty, searching cars, and just look. I think Pinterest allows you to have a visual component to the imaginary world. And so if you're able to just go onto Pinterest, which is the second thing that I recommend that you do, and just type in what you're interested in, type in what you want to do. Another thing, I have so many tips and tricks. Okay, so another thing that I actually love is public libraries. I rep them hardcore. I have no shame about it. I love, well, I love libraries, but I love the public library. So I would recommend going there and finding out the programming. Most often it's free. Actually, I think it's free all the time. But I would look at their programming, find out the times and the dates, maybe materials that you need to bring. Because the great thing about the library, they have free internet. They have the computer for you. They have people there who are willing to help guide you through the process. And they even have materials and resources like paper and pens to sit down and do this exercise. So I recommend going to the library as my final piece of advice to explore the dreams buried deep inside of you.
What books did you read as a kid that helped you to unlock your dreams? Guessing you were a big reader.
I am a huge reader. Actually, I'll flip that question and I'll say the book that I love helped me to find myself, which then allowed me to dream. So the book that I read is by Sharon Draper. Sharon Draper is really popular, at least in my time, for middle schoolers. I actually read this one in elementary. My fourth grade teacher was like, you should read this book. And I was really upset because it was like a sixth grade, seventh grade level reading book. And she was telling me to do this. And much like if you're a parent or teacher and you heard my previous answer, your students, your kids will definitely give you pushback. Because I gave my teacher a pushback for giving me extra reading homework to do on the weekends and to do when I got home or on the summers. However, I look back at my life and it has changed drastically from this one book. It's called The Skin I'm In by Sharon Draper. In fact, I gave out three of these books to my kiddos whenever I left LA. It's an incredible book about sixth grader, seventh grader, I don't know, a middle school girl who's dark skinned and she is navigating life, navigating middle school in her skin. And so just reading the book and how she overcomes, right? Because I think that books like that allow you to go on this journey and in turn, you take your own journey. And so you follow the lead character. And then as you're going through her journey, you can find parallels in your life between what's happening with her and her story and then what's happening in your own story. And then you also come to the solutions, right? She doesn't end the book upset. She ends the book loving who she is and loving the skin that she's in. And so I think that you will love the skin and who you are at the end of the book as well. So that's what I read and that's what I recommend anyone reading. Honestly, you don't have to be a child, but definitely your elementary, middle schooler would love the book. And that's the foundation I'm realizing just now, but that's kind of the model that I followed, right? My book, it's going to help you become comfortable with your identity, your Black identity, or just identity in general, right? So that way you're able to dream. You're able to have that launch pad because that's part of the expense to dreaming is not knowing who you are. So to me, you have to navigate the waters of finding yourself before you can even allow yourself to sit and dream. So if you don't know who you are, you don't know how to show up in the world. And so knowing who you are, knowing your stories, knowing the historical stories that come before you, like the ones in my book, We Did That, then you're able to grow and transform. And now you can tell your own stories. So then that makes you prepared to start dreaming.
We are coming up on time, but I do have one final question for you. Charity, what dream is in your heart right now?
My current dream, I would say success with the book and the podcast, and success looks differently, right? So I would love to have listeners and to be able to scale the book and get it into stores. That's a huge dream of mine. I dream about it, like when I go to sleep at night, walking into Barnes & Noble's, walking into Walmart, Target, Books A Million, and going to the children's section and seeing my book. It's such a dream of mine. And so I'm actively working to get there every day. And I would say my secondary dream is for us as a whole. I think it will take everyone involved to help just children in general, right? To support the dreams of all children. I think that's a huge dream of mine. I think it's important that we all act as one. We become that village, that community that supports our children's dreams. Whoever is in your life, whatever child, any race, any age, anyone under 18 or beyond, helping them dream. And then my last dream is I would love to live in a dream world, right? I don't mean that. Well, I guess maybe I do mean that literally. I would love to just walk around and it'd be apparent that people are living out their dreams.
Thank you so much, Charity. Charity is a star. Her podcast, Only in Your Dreams, is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. She's got a beautiful voice. Her content is amazing. And her book, We Did That, is available for purchase March 27th. Pre-sales are open now. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on our website, which is cbiginal.com. All of this will be linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on my show, Charity.
Thanks so much for having me. I loved being here, and I look forward to connecting with all of you out there. And I just want you to know that the life that you want is only in your dreams, and you can have it. So dare to dream again.
Moments in Delaware from Poets.
I heard the dreams are illegal in the ghetto.
Little black girl, you ain't gonna be no damn.
I heard that dreams
doctor.
Are illegal in the ghetto.
You ain't gonna be no lawyer.
But I am dreaming.
Don't you know that dreams are illegal in the ghetto?
I heard that dreams are illegal, but
I am dreaming.
I had a dream.
I had a
dream that I was in America.
I was in America.
And I was actually in the land of the beautiful and the home
of the brave.
My boss came into my office and said, Hi Bob, how's it going? Why don't you take off early and here's that raise? And as I pulled my Suburban up to my Suburban home, I got the mail out the box, solved the proof for another home equity loan.
Right.
The Girl Scouts are there ringing the bell with cookies to sell.
Ding dong.
Of course, I brought a box as Hillary quieted down Marmaduke Court, began to bark. And then later on, my wife and the kids took a bike ride to the park.
Keep up, dear.
Well, when we got back, we had apple pie with ice cream on top. Then we buckled up and hit it on down to Blockbuster to get some videos to watch.
Titanic again.
When we returned, the kids put on their PJs and relaxed in the den for some family time
watching videos.
Then all these strangers turned and said to me,
Nigga,
what are you doing here? Don't you know that dreams are illegal in the ghetto?
What are you doing here?
Don't you know that dreams are illegal in the ghetto? Those
gunshots. Gunshots ringing the heat of the night, followed by screams. Violently disrupting my dreams. You see, in my neighborhood, I don't need to read the paper, watch the news to notice something bad happened around here tonight.
Uh-huh.
But once the ambulance leave and the police sirens stop and the crowd disperses, that silence soaks into my soul, sobering my senses, and it's often over-intoxicating society. And I try to relax. I try to relax, but the devil just won't let go. He keeps pointing to the signs that are posted all around me to read dreams are illegal in the ghetto. You see, my neighborhood is the bottom of the barrel where drugs get mixed. Here there are no brothers and sisters, just confused brothers and sisters. Here people drown in the backwash of the latest political scandal. Here the devil's in sweet control as dreams are stole. And you know there is no honor amongst thieves, so dreams are stolen with ease. A high school graduate, barely 17, gives up her college dreams for a pair of tight jeans and a chance to be the next inner city queen.
Shake what your mama gave you.
In the inner city? In the inner city, checks and basketballs bounce with regularity.
I'm crossing over.
Life and death in the mix with no disparity. Ghetto youth live for nothing and ghetto youth die for nothing. Every day, blue skies are gray. All they know is that they want to make dough.
You're gonna get paid, kid.
The devil has them chasing the colorless rainbow. And at the end, there is no pot of gold, just a pot of steam, which he exchanges for their dreams. You see, bona fide slaves are made in the devil's dream trade. Without dreams, you are equivalent to being non-existent. You see, our children need to be told they can achieve, and that God bless those who hold on to their dreams. We gotta take down the signs so the kids won't know that the devil is trying to make dreams, not drugs, but he's trying to make dreams illegal, but dreams are not illegal.
Thank you.